With the 55th pick in the 2024 NBA Draft, the Los Angeles Lakers select Bronny James from the University of Southern California.
And there it is. It is official with the 55th pick in the NBA Draft. Bronny James, son of LeBron James, heading to play with his dad with the LA Lakers. First time in NBA history that a team will have a father and son duo play together. Maybe. Welcome into the Glass Half Full and ESPN Pensacola podcast with me, Jordan Glass. Of course, we say maybe because we don't know necessarily what's going to happen with LeBron James and his future. He can become a free agent. This time next week, he could be a free agent and be leaving LA. Is that what's going to happen? Honestly, I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine when it comes to that. Because beforehand, LeBron was like, yeah, I'd love to play with my son. You know, if he ended up as a Laker, it would be awesome for us to be on the same team. You know, and that was kind of the comments we were getting. And then the last month or so, those comments have changed. Now it's, well, you know, it's not necessarily if 100% that I would have to play with him like that. That's, you know, I wouldn't mind if, you know, if I went somewhere else and wasn't on the same team as him, or he went somewhere else and we weren't on the same team together, it wouldn't be the end of the world. So the narrative kind of changed, right? But now they are on the same team. So does that mean that the Lakers are going to secure a new deal with LeBron? Because they, I mean, they can offer him a max deal. They've got the room to do it. They've got the money to do it. They can keep him there for pretty much probably the remainder of LeBron James's career. Or does LeBron just want to opt in, play one more year, and, you know, see what happens in free agency? Or does he want to just go ahead and opt out and go into the market now? It's going to be very interesting to see now that they've drafted Bronny what LeBron decides to do. How funny would that be? I honestly would love to see the front office for the Lakers face if they go out and they draft Bronny James and then LeBron goes, yeah, I'm not going to opt into my deal next year. I think I'm going to be a free agent and going to test the waters of free agency and potentially look to go somewhere else. Yeesh. Then you'd be like, well, then why did we use our 55th pick to bring your son onto the team so you could play together? So we'll see what happens. I think this is a sign and a step in the direction of them being able to maybe come to an agreement, whether that agreement is to have him opt into his final year or to outright just sign him, like I said, to a max deal. Because I feel like if the Lakers are to work out a new deal with him, and that is an option, by the way. If he opts out to become a free agent, he can then just turn around and have a new deal created with the Lakers, which I do think would be a max deal. And I think if he re-signs with the Lakers, he is going to be re-signing with the Lakers to spend the last part of his career in Los Angeles with his son Bronny playing on the same team. So we'll just have to see. I mean, LeBron has surprised people with decisions before in the past, right? So we'll see how that plays out. We've got 2 days until the deadline for players to decide on what they want to do as far as opting into their following year's contract or looking to become a free agent. Speaking of those players that need to do that, Paul George, another one inside the NBA. Right now the Clippers are trying to make a push, right? They understand it's the last couple of days before Paul George has to kind of make up his mind and decide what he's going to do moving forward. They understand that. They are making that final push. They're coming out and, you know, they're releasing press releases and they're doing interviews and sending their GM and their president and everybody in front of cameras and in front of microphones to say those things that they feel like they need to say to kind of make Paul George happy and make him feel like he's found his home in the NBA. Remember, we talked a little bit about it yesterday on the show, and even before yesterday, Paul George has come out and said it's not about chasing a championship. This decision is going to be based off of going to a place where I'm going to be playing the best basketball for me, where it's going to be the best situation for me as far as X's and O's and not necessarily going after a championship. The best system that fits me, the best team that fits me, Remember some of the other teams that are expected to go after him hardcore if he enters free agency. The Orlando Magic, Philadelphia 76ers. We've also got a couple of other teams getting in the mix like OKC and Golden State. Definitely expected to put on the full court press for Paul George. No pun intended there with that. But they're expected to put on that full court press, go after him if he does become a free agent. He could stick around. He does have that that option. $48.8 million player option. He sticks around, plays one more year. That's how much he gets. So there is almost 50 million reasons why you would stay a Clipper. But the problem with the Clippers is they just recently in January re-signed extended, I should say, that's a better word, Kawhi Leonard with a three-year deal, $150 million. They also want to bring back James Harden. You know, they want to keep him on the team as well. So you look at Paul George and you go, is this going to be a situation where, you know, I'm going to be happy playing here? Because it doesn't seem like, I mean, it's not been a terrible situation in LA with the Clippers for Paul George. But it does seem like it's kind of one of those things to where it's like one of those relationships where you realize it's the relationship never was really going to go anywhere, right? It wasn't going to end in marriage. This wasn't somebody that you loved. And, you know, you both kind of knew that this was just a fling. And it seems kind of like that fling is reached its expiration date, right? So I think for the Clippers, I think for Paul George, I think they're both kind of looking at this situation. And I think this is why they haven't been able to reach a deal. They've been trying to get a deal done for months now, going back to when the season was happening. Right. So when they extended Kawhi Leonard's deal, they were trying to work on something with Paul George and they still couldn't get it done. I think Paul George is understanding that, you know, he's reached his time limit with the LA Clippers and it's time for him to move on. The Clippers, on the other hand, want to keep him. So we'll see how this plays out. Again, $48.8 million if he extends his or opts into his final year of his contract. And much like what we talked about with LeBron getting a max deal from the Lakers, the Clippers could still give Paul George, even with the extension to Kawhi Leonard and wanting to re-sign James Harden and bring him back and keep him a Clipper as well, they still have the opportunity to give Paul George a four-year deal that's worth over $220 million. Like, they still have that opportunity. So I don't think it's necessarily a, can they afford me? It's a, is this where I really want to be for Paul George? And from everything it seems like and sounds like thus far, it does not look like that's where he wants to be. I mean, if that's where he wanted to be, why have they not gotten a deal done yet? If they can offer him a deal that's worth 4 years, $221 million, if that's the max deal they could offer him, that's a pretty good deal to me. That is a pretty darn good deal to me. So why have they not been able to reach a decision? I think Paul George has kind of made up his mind. I do expect Paul George to become a free agent. And again, just the same as LeBron, if he becomes a free agent, he can still sign with the Clippers. He can still work out a new deal with the Clippers. It's not out of bounds. There's no free agency rule that says that if you become a free agent, you cannot re-sign a new contract with the team that you were playing with the previous season. Now, you can do that. So that still could be something that is reworked. Also, if he opts into this year, he could still opt into this year, take the $48.8 million, and then want a trade and put in for a trade. So it is one of those things to where there's multiple different avenues that Paul George could go with this, but I do expect him to become a free agency. And when he becomes a free agent, I do expect those teams that I mentioned a moment ago in Orlando, Philadelphia, Golden State, and OKC definitely are going to be knocking on his door Monday morning. He's going to become a free agent Sunday. Monday morning, they're going to be knocking on the doors. Hi, we're from the Orlando Magic. We'd like to talk to you. You know, and then the 76ers will be right behind them. Then it'll be the Warriors, and then it'll be the Thunder. Right? It's kind of like when you hear coaches talking about recruiting trips with college football, how they'll meet each other in the yard as they're leaving. You know, one coach is leaving, another one's going in. It's going to be the same way teams trying to recruit and bring in Paul George in free agency. So we'll see what happens there. But the Clippers definitely trying to make a push. They're out in the media saying all the right things. They're letting it be known that they can offer him a four-year, $221 million deal. And they're also getting out there and they're saying, not only did we extend Kawhi already, but we want to keep James Harden as a Clipper as well. I guess they think that maybe keeping those star athletes on the team, Paul George is going to go, well, you know, it's a really good team. But again, if a guy's coming out and he's saying, hey, it's not about chasing championships, it's about being at the best fit for me, a place I feel comfortable in, a place that I'm going to be having the best opportunity to play basketball at this point in my career, maybe bringing guys back that are superstars in the NBA aren't necessarily things that are going to entice him to want to resign. Because, again, doesn't seem like it's about winning a championship. It seems like it's about being happy and comfortable wherever he's at. Because it doesn't seem like that's the case with the Clippers right now. Moving on now to the NFL. They are they're about to owe a lot of money, big time. A federal judge has ordered the NFL to pay $4.7 billion with a B, in residential class damage and $96 million in commercial class damages at the conclusion of this Sunday ticket case that has been going on. And if you don't know anything about this Sunday ticket case, it's really something that's been happening for about a decade now. I mean, it's been going on for a while. Pretty much it is stating that the league collaborated with network broadcast partners. So, you know, CBS, Fox, all those companies. And they partnered to inflate the price of Sunday ticket. Right, the thing that you can order, you can sign up for a membership with that, and you can be able to watch just about any game in any market on any network. So allegedly, it says that the NFL worked with those networks to inflate the ticket or the price for Sunday ticket. Hence, why it's called the Sunday ticket case. Again, $4.7 billion in residential class damage, $96 million in commercial class damage. This is one of those situations where it's been going on for a while and it's not going away anytime soon. Just because this was the ruling by a federal judge, the NFL is set to appeal. And honestly and truthfully, I full-heartedly expect the NFL to appeal just about, honestly, as many times as they can. Am I surprised that the NFL is caught up in something like this? Absolutely not. I mean, Roger Goodell's all about money. If he can put more money in his pocket, he's going to do it, right? Like, I think I it's not surprising to me to hear that the NFL is in a lawsuit case about inflating the price of a product. You know, that's one of the big knocks on Roger Goodell. He's greedy. He's all about putting money in his pocket and doesn't really care whether that hurts the league or any league properties. So we'll see how that plays out with the NFL appeal. But that's a lot of money. $4.7 billion and then another $96 million in commercial class damages at the conclusion of the Sunday ticket case. I'd love to have just a fraction of that. Like a very minute, small, just give me a third of that and I'd be happy. And it's crazy to hear that the NFL, because normally the NFL will settle, right? They'll settle. They'll come up with some number that both sides are happy on and they'll pay it. But in this case, they're like, no, we're not going to settle. We're going to fight it. We're going to appeal it until we get the result we want. So it ain't over yet. A decade in the books, and we probably got another decade to go. Despite no deal, moving on now, despite no deal, ESPN content president Burke Magnus. What a name that is. That's an awesome name. That's an action movie name right there. Burke Magnus. He expects Pat McAfee to return to College Game Day. So there's no deal right now for Pat McAfee to return. But there's a lot of college football fans not happy about this. Saw a lot of college fans saying that, you know, he came from it with a professional football perspective, not a college football perspective, which I can understand why you would be a little bothered by that. You know, you're on a panel up there with guys who are college football analysts that look at everything from the landscape of college football. And if Pat McAfee's coming in kind of with that pro NFL football style mindset, it's not necessarily going to work as well. But I thought it was great last year on College Game Day. Look, you got a guy like Lee Corso who puts on the mascot heads. He says crazy things. He's like everybody's crazy grandpa or crazy uncle, right? Just says crazy things, and you never know what you're going to get with Lee Corso. I think ESPN's attempt to kind of replace Lee Corso, because let's be honest, Lee's, you know, he doesn't have much time left on College Game Day. I think their shot at replacing him was Pat McAfee, because what is Pat McAfee going to do? He's going to say crazy things, and you never know what you're going to get, right? I mean, it's very similar, the antics. I mean, different, but also similar, the antics that you get with Lee Corso and Pat McAfee. Lots of college fans are actually calling for David Pollack to come back. I don't know. I'm not sure if there's bad blood between David Pollack and ESPN or not, but I always enjoyed David Pollack on College Game Day. I'm honestly surprised that when he was done with College Game Day, or at least they didn't try to move him over to the SEC network and put him on the network, but there might have been some behind-the-scenes issues there with him and the four-letter network that, you know, didn't necessarily work in that favor. But Pat McAfee looks like he's going to make his return to College Game Day. And again, people are going to be upset by anything. They're going to be mad about anything these days. I think College Game Day is great with Pat McAfee. I don't see there being any issues with it. Again, you can't sit there and talk about how great it is with Lee Corso and then be mad with Pat McAfee. Because while there is a difference to them, there's also a very similar nature to them. As far as, like I said, never know what's going to come out of their mouth. You never know what they're going to do. You know, and it makes the show entertaining. Look, College Game Day has never been a serious show, right? They do segments where you've got a mascot helping cook barbecue. You know, you've got celebrities coming on to do guest pick'em spots. You've got Lee Corso putting on mascot heads. They've never really been a show. They know how to be serious, right? Remember all those stories from Tom Rinaldi that make us all boo-hoo like a baby every Saturday morning when they would happen. They know how to be serious. But the show overall was a fun show. And it was a show that was supposed to go out and allow the fans an opportunity to be part of the show with their flags for their team, with the signs for their team, going out to these locations where the games are going to be played and doing the show live from there rather than being in a studio, right? It was meant to be a fun show. Having a guy like Pat McAfee on there makes it a fun show. I think it's a no-brainer to bring him back, and I think anybody that's upset with Pat McAfee coming back is, honestly and truthfully, I think it's more of a thing of you just don't like Pat McAfee. And look, I get it. Sometimes when I watch or listen to the Pat McAfee show, some of the things that are said or done on there, I roll my eyes at, or I you know, face palm. Because sometimes it gets a little ridiculous and it gets, you know, a little campy and a little, you know, childish sometimes. But also, again, much like College Game Day, when they need to be serious, they know how to be serious. When they need to actually legitimately sit there and talk ball, they will sit there and talk ball. They'll joke around and cut up, but when something is needing to be said or needing to be addressed, they do a great job at taking advantage of that on the Pat McAfee show. And I think, you know, Pat McAfee does a great job on College Game Day. So if you're a hater, you don't like Pat McAfee on College Game Day, I don't know what to tell you. Looks like even though there's no deal done, looks like he's probably going to be back for the 2024 season. This next story, I'm going to try not to get on a soapbox about, but it is definitely one of those stories where it's frustrating to hear that we still live in a time where this happens. Obviously, if you've been following along with Copa America, United States men's national team fell to Panama 2-1. And that was a surprising loss, and a lot of people were upset by that. There's nothing wrong with being upset as a fan when your team loses. There is nothing wrong with when you realize that a coach is not doing their job properly, the way they're getting paid a lot of money to do it, that you get a little mad and you get on social media and you say that the coach should be fired. But when you start directing threats and racist comments or racist remarks or racist slurs at players of a team for losing a game, we got to do better as a society. We got to do better as sports fans. There's no room for that. And that's exactly, unfortunately, what happened with the United States men's national team after this loss to Panama. People on social media throwing out words, saying phrases, saying things that they shouldn't directly to these players. And it's disgusting, and it's sad. Like I said, there's nothing wrong with being upset that your team lost the game. There's nothing wrong with saying that you feel like a coach should be fired because they're not doing their job properly. Lord knows I've done it a time or two. Or 12. A lot. But my point is, there is a line that you don't cross, and it was definitely crossed yesterday. So much so that the United States men's national team let out a statement, and the statement says, U.S. soccer is aware and of and deeply disturbed by the racist comments made online and directed at several of our men's national team players following tonight's match. There's absolutely no place in the game for such hateful and discriminatory behavior. These actions are not only unacceptable, but also contrary to the values of respect and inclusivity that we uphold as an organization. U.S. Soccer stands firmly against racism in all forms and will continue to support our players. And that is a very professional way of saying that. That is a very well-handled, well-written response to what happened. Now, here's how I'm going to respond to it. Whatever low-life scumbag felt the need to get on a social media app and hide behind a keyboard or a screen on their phone, you're weak. You're trash. Get a life. And for the love of God, find a way to be a better person. The world is already a crazy enough and sick enough place as it is. We don't need any help from you. Find a way to do better. Because you definitely can't do worse because you're at the bottom of the barrel as far as that goes. Jeez. These guys are out there. They practice hard. They play hard. They leave it out there. Sometimes the results don't go your way. You don't get to jump on social media and use these words and these phrases to these players who are working their butt off just because you got upset by the outcome. Again, be upset. That's part of being a fan. But you don't have to do this. That is absolutely ridiculous and uncalled for. Absolutely uncalled for. Aaron Judge, Bryce Harper have been named to the All-Star game. The first ballot of All-Star voting is in. They were the top two vote recipients for the American League and the National League, so they are automatically into the game as starters, and that's great for baseball, right? I mean, you got Aaron Judge, you got Bryce Harper. You can't ask for two bigger names in the game to get in there and be a part of the All-Star game. Maybe we can get him to be a part of the Home Run Derby. Bryce Harper got a little banged up last night, a hamstring issue. So we'll see if Bryce Harper is even healthy enough to go. He may decide to opt out of the All-Star game to get a little extra rest. So who knows what happens there with the Phillies star. But, yeah, I think it's pretty cool that they're already named on the ballot. Not a surprise with those two guys either. Like I said, if both of them are healthy and ready to go, I wouldn't mind seeing them in the Home Run Derby as well. A couple of big bats in there. I know Shohei Ohtani's thinking about doing it. So, yeah, as many big names and big bats we can get in the Home Run Derby, that'd be a lot of fun. Just by the way, the All-Star game, not too far away, July 16th. It's hard to believe we're already at that point in the Major League Baseball season. But July 16th in Arlington, Texas, they're the home of the Texas Rangers. So, we'll keep an eye on this and see who else is added to the team as we continue on through the voting, which I believe you can actually cast your vote online, MLB.com. So if you want to go cast your vote, definitely go do so. We'll close it out today with the WNBA. Angel Reese, she set a WNBA record last night. 9 straight double-doubles. Now, the team did lose to Las Vegas, so overall as a team, you know, not a fun night. But still, Angel Reese setting that record with 9 straight double-doubles, that's incredible. And I think it's great that what she and Caitlin Clark are able to do. I know Caitlin Clark gets a lot of the attention, and rightfully so, you know, and everybody talks about Caitlin Clark. And I'm not discounting it and saying they shouldn't, but, I mean, Angel Reese, 9 straight double-doubles, breaks a WNBA record. She's contributing her part as well. And I think it's great because it's lifting up that sport. Because, I mean, here, you're hearing us talk about the WNBA. You know, when you turn on, you know, First Take, they talk about the WNBA. When you turn on other sports talk radio shows, they're talking about the WNBA. And that's great. That is absolutely fantastic because this is a sports league that's been around for a while now, but has not been able, for whatever reason, they just couldn't gain the traction. There was nothing that drew the people in like we're seeing now. But this rivalry between Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, it's good for the game. It is good for the game. So congratulations to Angel Reese on setting that WNBA record. Continue to see what happens with her and the rest of her team there with the Chicago Sky. And, of course, with Caitlin Clark on the other side of that rivalry. Again, they'll play each other again in August. I want to say August 30th. I don't know off the top of my head, but that'll be their fourth and final meeting of the season. Right now, the Indiana Fever have a 2-1 lead in that series. So maybe Chicago can tie it up, and we'll just have more momentum for that rivalry heading into next year's season. So definitely keep an eye on that. If you've not watched a game in the WNBA this year, August 30th, Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese, Indiana versus Chicago, find a way to tune in. Even if you got to DVR it and watch it back, when those two are on the court together and they're playing, it is definitely a lot of fun. That is going to do it for today's show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Hope you have a great weekend. That's right. Today is finally Friday, isn't it? So have a great weekend. We'll be back with more Glass Half Full and ESPN Pensacola podcast with me, Jordan Glass, on Monday. I'll talk to you then.